A reading for this morning is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the first two verses. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. In 2004, when the Olympics were going on in the city of Athens, during the marathon, the lead runner, who was ahead by a minute, a Brazilian runner by the name of Vanderlei Lima, was suddenly attacked by a fan that jumped out of the stands. And because of that, there's been much tighter security with the marathon since then. In the 1990s, there was a tennis star by the name of Monica Seles, who during a tennis match in Germany had a crazed fan of her opponent jump out of the stands and come at her with a knife and stab her in the shoulder. She had to be taken to the hospital. Just last year in the Tour de France, Alberto Contador was leading the race and was suddenly assaulted by a fan while on his bike. It's kind of difficult to compete in an athletic event if you got things like this going on. That kind of interference getting in your way certainly can hinder you. As a believer in Christ, God at times in Scripture addresses us as though we were athletes, spiritual athletes, focused on a goal. And the New Testament frequently uses imagery that has to do with athletics and training and things like that. St. Paul uses pictures of running a race, just like we see again here, or boxing he talks about, or training your body in athletic training. And athletes, in their training as well as in their performance, always have a particular set goal in mind. There's something they're hoping to accomplish, and it's that very goal, whatever it is, whether it's a trophy or some prize that they win, that goal is always the thing that compels them forward in both their training as well as their performance. And for the believer in Christ, the great prize, of course, that we chase is everlasting life in heaven, which has been already won for us through the work of our Savior, who endured the cross and the shame of the cross on our behalf so that we could have that wonderful prize of heaven. But the reality is that there are some out there who want to prevent us from that goal, want to hinder us from winning that race. And the Bible describes the various enemies that there are. We certainly know about the devil and the world, but it's actually myself is the one that the text is talking about, and probably the one that's the most dangerous for all of us. What goes on inside of our hearts, our minds, our consciences, our eyes, our ears, our mouths? This is the one that the text is focusing on. It talks about the sin that so easily entangles us, that causes us to trip and to fall and to stumble in this race. Now, I want you to notice something here. The author of Hebrews does not look at Christians in rose-colored glasses, as if somehow we have already attained perfection in this life. Sin is real. It's real in us. It's a real problem. It's a real issue. It's not just something that we theoretically talk about. It's not just something that the wicked, evil world has. It's us. It's me. It's you. It's right in us. And that's the thing that can so easily entangle us and prevent us from reaching our goal. So how does this happen? Well, each one of us has at least one area, maybe more than that, of particular weaknesses that we can just fall into and lapse into, where we're very susceptible to certain types of temptation. And God's concern is not simply that we maybe fall into sin and fall to temptation. That's going to happen, yes. and it's wrong and it's sinful and evil. But that's really not the issue with God. The issue is, how does your heart deal with it? How does your mind deal with it? Do you just keep on with it? Do you fall in love with it and just decide, well, this is what I'm going to go with in life? This is who I'm going to be, and I'm just going to make this part of who I am, and it's no big deal to God? That's the issue. That's the way that these temptations and this sin entangle us and cause us to be derailed in our great course of the race that we are running. And have you ever noticed this about yourself, that the further along you go with a temptation, the more you allow yourself to get sucked into it, and maybe permit yourself even for days or weeks or months to be drawn toward this sin, the less you care about Christ, the less you care about His Word, the less you care about His sacrament, about your prayer life, about reading Scripture, about all of that. Jesus says it well, you cannot serve both God and mammon. That doesn't mean just money. It means the wicked stuff in this world. You can't do both. Either you are for me or against me. Pastors will tell you that if they've had somebody that they're dealing with in their congregation who's been very faithful in worship, and all of a sudden they know that they're missing frequently and they're just not there, there's a spiritual problem involved. And it usually means that there's something going on in their life that they've started to embrace, that they've started to kind of fall in love with, and they just don't want to let it go. And it starts to kill their desire for hearing of God's forgiveness. And so that's the danger sign that we need to watch out for in ourselves. The danger sign is when we no longer care to put up a struggle with our sin, when it no longer bothers me anymore, when it no longer troubles my heart that there's something that I know clearly my God does not want me thinking or doing or saying. And if you don't think you have a problem like that, well, then it's clear your problem is pride, sin of pride. This is the spiritual paralysis that we are being warned about in our text. And if your heart has come to embrace that and just kind of let it become part of you now, that should be a red flag. In each of those three cases that I brought up in the introduction about the athletes and different people that tried to hinder them, in all of those cases, they each got back in the race or got back on their bike, or even Monica Seles came out of the hospital. It took her a while, but she recovered from that and got back into the game of tennis. They would not let this hinder them from reaching their ultimate goal. And that is the point of our text today. The author from God is saying to us, even though these things may happen to you, don't let it hinder you. Get back in the race. Get back up. Take those things off of your legs that have started to entangle you in all of this sin. And don't let it prevent you from reaching your ultimate goal of heaven. So how does that happen? Very simply, through daily repentance. Daily coming before God and saying, Lord, I continue to mess up before you. Please forgive me for Jesus' sake. And He sure does, and He sure has. He's always the prodigal son's father waiting to take you back. And our text says that we should keep our focus and our attention on Christ, the perfecter of our faith, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who created it and the one who has finished it already for us, the one who's already won the prize for us, and go back to Him through His word and sacrament and daily hold on to Him and let Him push you forward in that race. And I love this statement at the beginning of our text. He says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us move ahead in this race. He's referring to the previous chapter in Hebrews 11 with all the great heroes of faith. And isn't it wonderful to think of them already now in the church triumphant in heaven, cheering us on like spectators in an arena, cheering us on in this race. I think of the believers in my family who've already died and gone to heaven, and they just can't wait for me to get there. Who's waiting in heaven to see you? Who has already gone to the mansions above through faith in Christ and is cheering you on up there, and they just cannot wait to see you arrive at the finish line. Be faithful unto death, your Lord says, and I will give you the crown of life. Amen.